We got many things going on in this world now. All you've got to do is stick with God's word. Okay? You've got many prognosticators that'll go around passing out junk. This is what you want to stick with. So kind of to find out what's happening, I want you to know we have covered, let's summarize just a little bit. In the last few Passovers, we've covered the seals, seven of them. And that simply meant that you were to seal in your mind what's written here and how it's going to come to pass before the fact, so that you know how to act and be a servant of God when that time comes. And then we did the seven trumps. A trump always executes a command. That means that's time for action. And then we did the seven seals. I'm sorry, the seven vials. And, you know, a vial, you usually think of a little perfume gadget, you know. But the Greek is very specific. It's a wide-mouthed jar, short. And how are you going to pour that out? Splat. Okay. When it goes, it goes. So, and then naturally, when the first thing to learn, what was the first seal? The coming of the Antichrist. You don't ever want to forget that. Don't ever let anyone take that away from you. That was one of Christ's main teachings, and you're going to find that out today. So, in summarizing, and naturally, the sixth seal, and the sixth trump, and the sixth vial is the coming of the false Messiah. And that's when you go to work. Jesus taught all this very specifically, and we're going to go into it today so that you have a better understanding, perhaps. And I want you to learn a new key, something to really watch that will give you comfort. Jesus always plowed, and as it is written in Luke 21, not a hair on your head can be touched. And he's going to kind of shore that up today for you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the 17th chapter of Revelation. And let's do a little covering here. As far as the Antichrist is coming, as you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and... This is when the beast system, a world political system, and the spurious Messiah appear. The one that goes into perdition. Only one person has already been sentenced to perish. That's what perdition means in the Greek tongue. And that is Satan himself. Okay. So, therefore, when you read goes into perdition, that's Satan. Okay, I'm going to start reading with the 8th verse of the 17th chapter. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. I mean, he was in the first earth age, but he was condemned there to death. And he shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. That will not fit anyone else. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. That may sound a little confusing, but it simply means he appears in different roles, okay? And you better be prepared for it. He appears as Satan, the old dragon, as the Antichrist, and so forth. Verse 9, this is why we came here. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. Does yours? When you read that, perk up. Wake up. Wisdom from God is a precious thing. And he's going to that means he's going to reveal something to you that is very important. When he says here is wisdom, he means it. The seven heads on that system are seven mountains. That means seven nations on which the woman sitteth. These are nations on which the world political system rides. Now, the subject is Jerusalem and who controls it, the land of Judea. And I want you to remember this. I want you to think about who surrounds it today. Okay? Wake up for me now. I want you to think about the armies that surround Jerusalem today. Who controlled her in the beginning? Book of Daniel fortifies it. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was the great head of gold, remember? Number one. So naturally, Babylon was the first ruler, the first one that took over that area. What followed? Medo-Persia. Now, Persia is Iran. And Iran is very much in the play of this today. And I would have you know, here's where the supernatural begins to work in, and you'd better wake up to it. As far as Iran is concerned, that's to say Persia. 10th chapter of Daniel. Messenger sent to Daniel to warn him of what would befall our people in the end times. And the prince of Persia withheld him 21 days before Michael interceded, and he was able to make it through. So when we're dealing with Persia today, don't be surprised what happens. And know and be awake as to what's happening even in the heavens. If you're not familiar with the 10th chapter of Daniel, it will back that up, okay? So the number two was Medo-Persia. Three was Greece. And naturally, when the messenger was released by the prince of Persia, he went to the prince of Grecia in that 10th chapter of Daniel. Number four is Rome. Okay. Rome naturally ruled there when Christ walked the earth. I was really surprised. 2 weeks and one day ago, 1,000 Italian troops landed at Tyre. That's Rome. Be aware of who's surrounding Jerusalem at this time. And of course, number five, from the year 636, even to this present time, or most recent, the Mohammedan reign, the Islamic people, controlled the area, except for a very short time. And then, of course, in 1948, and both the good and the bad fig tree were planted there. But that's not the whole story. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. And of course, that one that went in perdition, we note those that do surround. What was the subject of Luke 21? What was Christ talking about? Verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, of the what? Of Jerusalem? Of Judea? Of somewhere else? No, the temple. That's important. That's a key. Don't forget it. How it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, Jesus answered, as for these things, which you behold, the days will come into which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. What were we talking about? The temple. Or what rest in the temple spot, the temple mound. Okay. It's called Moriah. Do you know what Moriah means in the Hebrew tongue? Chosen by Yahweh. Chosen by God. His spot. He read it in Ezekiel chapter 16. He took that spot and read it for made an eternal covenant with it. I'm talking about Temple Mount, and this is the temple that we're talking about, okay? He continues on then and tells you how, take heed lest any man deceive you, that you're going to be delivered up. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through you, and all of you are very familiar with it. Again, what's the subject? Don't forget, the temple and what happens there. Verse 18, and there shall not an hair of your head perish. Do you believe that? Do you believe God is able to protect you? He's given you power over all your enemies. And you must learn to exercise that power. You have it, use it. Let it comfort you. We'll be shoring this up considerably in this lesson today. Verse 19. In your presence, in your patience, possess you your soul. Be patient and listen for God. Don't listen to man. This man or any other man that doesn't back up the scripture of God's word. You've got people, you've got nutcases running around everywhere that like to pass out junk. Okay. You know, do you know what to do with it? You got a file cabinet with a, it's circled. Okay. You know, it's round. Okay. That's where you put it. You stick to God's word. Hey, we're too late in the season for you to be deceived. Stick with God's word. Do not listen to man's prognostications. Be patient. Well, I'm in a hurry. I want to know what's happening. Well, read it. Study it. Here is wisdom. Absorb it and learn from God's word, not man's. Verse 20, why we came here. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. What desolation? The desolation, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Okay. Know it. What do you see around Jerusalem today? As I stated, those same armies that have controlled from the beginning have a great play in who is surrounding. Nebuchadnezzar, that's Iraq. Boy, are we in Iraq, okay? And Iraq has been within this, shoring up, furnishing money, and of course Persia, financing Hezbollah, and many other things. Know and understand. God wants your attention. When you see those armies, know you're getting very close, too close to be deceived. It's time to stick really close to our Father's word. What are you to do then? Verse 21, then let them which are in Judea, giving you the geographical location, flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it, that's to say her, depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. And so it is. Why? What was the subject coming out the gate that I told you not to forget about the temple? He's going to level it. He's going to cleanse it. When? Verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. How many of them? All. All things that are written may be fulfilled on that day of vengeance. Do you know when that is? You're going to have a big clue here in a moment. Okay? So stand by. But no, not just part of the things will be fulfilled, but on that day, all things will be fulfilled. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. What this is talking about is a spiritual impregnation of lies. Satan's going to spew them out. People are going to spew them out. They're already spewing them out. How easy can you be had? How easily are you taken in? This is your law. It's the law of God. When he says all things will be fulfilled at a certain place, that's better than what any man can tell you. Well, when was it? Day of vengeance. We're going to go into that. You need to know more about it. We'll cover it. It is coming. And see that you're not deceived, because you're supposed to be a virgin, spiritually speaking, when Christ returns. And if he finds you with child, that means you've been messing around. He uses this terminology where you can relate to it. Relate that as with a family, and think how one of the parties would feel. He says, that's the way I feel. When you allow Satan to deceive you, and you're supposed to be waiting for me patiently, because I've told you, then he'll be disappointed indeed and hate. Well, I thought I was saved. Saved by who? Antichrist? Well, nobody ever told me about Antichrist. Tough stuff. You had the Bible. Read it. A child can understand it. Verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. When is this time of the Gentiles fulfilled? Well, what's the subject? What are we talking about? The temple. Well, what is this temple and what happens there now? Well, I'm going to tell you something about Moriah. Okay? I want you to know that smack dab in the middle of Temple Mount is the rock. Okay. It's the rock in Genesis 22 that Almighty God told Abraham, take Isaac, go to Mount Moriah, and take a sacrifice material. Here this child that Abraham had to patiently wait until he was 100 years old. And he was supposed to become his offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And God's telling him to sacrifice him. Abraham was faithful to know that God would deliver him one way or the other. In resurrection or whatever, he obeyed God. And he went to this rock. I'm sure it was the rock. And he built an altar there. And he was just about to sacrifice Isaac when God said, stop. And he provided a ram in the bush to be sacrificed instead. And yet many years later, on this same Moriah, on a different point known as Calvary, the skull, Golgotha, Golgotha, Christ, the only begotten, was sacrificed. And as he resurrected 40 days later, out he went over that rock. What about that temple rock? Jacob made a journey, it is believed by scholars, and he stopped at this place and he anointed that rock plus the stone of skin, used it as a pillar. And it was called by some the gates to heaven because the Jacob's ladder opened and it was the way to and from heaven. And naturally it would be because of the sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah on the rock near Moriah. Moriah meaning God's choice. God chooses his place, his action. And there is one sad thing with this also, is that the Mohammedans that owned controlled this from 636 up until 1948. But now wait. What are we talking about? I told you, don't forget the key, the temple, the rock. They still control the rock. They did not give the rock up in 1948, and they haven't given it up today. Gentiles still control it. So the time of the Gentiles is very much still in effect. And when you hear of anything changing concerning those time of the Gentiles, that is the equivalent of the day of vengeance. As a matter of fact, it will most likely be the day of vengeance that ends the time of the Gentile. So, know and understand. Don't just watch Jerusalem. It's more specific than that. Watch the temple. That's where the action is. That's where your warning will be. Not somewhere else, but right there. That's what makes this struggle that we're in today ever so important. For it is a religious war, any way you want to slice it. And it all hinges and comes down to the rock. So the Islamic people believe, and it's the rock is, the Dome of the Rock is their third most sacred spot, because they believe that Muhammad rode a horse from the rock up clear into the heavens, and that that's where he will come back and judgment will take place. So naturally, they have never given up the rock for that reason. They're still there. It would cause a great war, and people know that. So it becomes your benchmark that God is warning you about. What will it do? I'll read it again. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. But yet, what did he tell you? That the day of vengeance ends that, and all things that are written shall be fulfilled. Jesus led you into a closer and a more comfortable thing when he was teaching. Immediately, you know what? What did we just read? You're going to be delivered up before the false Messiah in this Luke 21. Okay? Do you know where Jesus mentioned this in another place? He was tempted by Satan 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And do you know what he did immediately following that? Turn to the fourth chapter of Luke. Fourth chapter of Luke. The first thing he did, Christ did, after being tempted of Satan 40 days and 40 nights, what I'm getting at here, he's showing you how to cut it, okay? Showing you how to do it, and that you can count on him to take care of you. Verse 16 of chapter 4, he had just been in the wilderness tempted of Satan, and they had parted company, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which is to say Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "Listen closely. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me." You know what anointed means? It is Christos. He's saying, I'm the Christ, okay? "To preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and to recover the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." 19, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In other words, to preach what it is that the Lord intends to do that brings about his day, even, which is 1,000 years long. And he stopped in the middle of a sentence in that verse, though. There's another part to it, and it's very important to you. Excuse me. Open your Bibles. Wait just a moment. I want to read one more thing. When he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of them all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Not this day all scripture is fulfilled, but this scripture, this particular one. In other words, salvation was brought forth. That was the first advent. Now turn with me to the 61st book of Isaiah, chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 61, and naturally it's the same verse. I mean, what we're coming here for is what follows, because it's written for you. Again, I would remind you, the subject was the temple. And Christ had just been tempted of Satan for 40 days, and he overcame. And now he's delivering you a message of how he will take care of you. You know what, on what day? The day of vengeance. Let's read it. 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. The anointed one is Christos. God, good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Listen carefully. Here's where he stopped. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and this is the part he didn't read, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Have you ever thought of, in the light, that God's day of vengeance would comfort you? Why would they mourn? Because of the deception that has been brought upon our people, as you see them misled by the millions, falling into line and following false teachings. And you will mourn at that. Get set for it. It's your own kin folks, in many cases. Your own loved ones. And you have to encourage and urge. But he says, I'm going to comfort you. That's why you can have patience. What is he going to do? Again, I want to remind you, you'd been in the wilderness 40 days tempted when he read this verse. He wanted you, he had stated in Luke 21, on the day of vengeance, not just up to that point is fulfilled, but all scripture shall be fulfilled on that day. You want to start watching the rock a little closer and what goes on there? It plays on the very heartstrings of the eternity itself. As you see a religious war shaping and taking shape, as it plays out in life, and you're there. You are there. So that day of vengeance is to comfort those that mourn. Why? Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, that Christ would be glorified for having established that word, and those that would believe and those that would follow, that would know the truth, and would stand for something and standing instead of standing for nothing, but to stand for God's word. Do you understand now why not a hair on your head can be touched? Because of this love. Because of his promise. This is not an idle promise. It's the promise of God through the Son. After having been tried 40 days and 40 nights, he read this, knowing that if you were a student, you would follow up to find what the second half was and what it meant. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. The millennium is a wonderful time. It's a time of all those that went astray. You just might boot them into a little bit of discipline, of listening, because they're not going to have any choice but to listen. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. In other words, all peoples, what are they plowing and what are they planting? It's not a crop. It's God's truth. Planting the seeds of truth to their own people. Everybody's going to work with their own people at that time to get them in line, to show them the way. And so it is. People leading people all over the world. You know, sometimes certain people wouldn't listen to me, but they will listen to one of their own. Verse 6. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, thus the nations. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. People will be saved. People will be led. For your shame you shall have double. That's the blessings of being the first fruit, okay, is to have double. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. everlasting joy shall be unto them. Enter into the kingdom of God and never leave again. Not at the second death, not at the second resurrection, not at the end of the millennium, but your Redeemer draweth nigh and he's at the gate.
Okay.
For I, the Lord, love judgment. Boy, does he. What's right? I hate robbery for burnt offerings. I hate people that preach something and claim to be sin of God and I didn't talk to them. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. That's to say, you the election. It's already made. So, you don't have to worry. God has given you that power and that authority and that knowledge. For here is wisdom. Listen to it. Watch the rock, the specific place. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Solomon built that temple on the rock. Have no doubt about that. That is to say, the foundation part. Because he was sent there by Almighty God to build it on Mount Moriah. That is to say, God's choice. Where his father David had purchased a Jebusite's field, his threshing floor. And this was the threshing floor. You can find that again in 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, to know where Solomon built the temple in this place. Verse 9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. And they see them, and all that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. And when the Lord blesses you, you don't have to worry. He just does. And when he blesses you with authority and with power, then don't hold back. But be patient. Let God do the leading. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. And for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That wedding takes place. Quite frankly, I've got some news for you. That's why I say the word wife is utilized in the 19th chapter of Revelation, because I think there was a wedding in the first earth age, when God chose his own, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I chose you before the foundations of this world. Verse 11, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. Do you believe that? Have you ever done any gardening? You expect it to spring forth. God lets that embryo sprout in the magic of life. He says, just as sure as you can watch that and it does, I'm going to do that with you. You're going to be trees of righteousness. You know, you don't have anything to worry about. 40 days and 40 nights he was tempted in the wilderness. You're only going to be delivered up for a short period. Be patient and know that God will not let you down. The Holy Spirit will lead you. And at the same time, when that happens, that shakes the rock. Watch the rock. That's what Jesus pointed you to. That is a point that you must be aware of. In other words, it's what lets you know that the day of vengeance is coming, that your Redeemer draweth nigh. What happens after this? Just a few more verses. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest. And he won't. If you think he's forgotten us, forget it. He knows exactly what's going down. You just pay attention. Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. In other words, that light, and Christ is that light that lights the whole world. And the Gentiles, that's to say the nations, shall see the righteousness and all kings of glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. What? That's a bridal one. Okay. What a beautiful thing to be able to serve the Lord in that nearness, in that closeness. To when he says, "Here is wisdom." Always shape up. Always wake up, giving your all, and listen to the word of God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah. That is to say, my desire is in her. And thy land, Beulah. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. You know, it is amazing how that God's word, the fact that the time of the Gentiles does continue, but the most sacred thing to God controlled by those Gentiles. But he is patient. But as he has told you, that day of vengeance is coming, and he gives you that particular goal. In closing, Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, and it'll give you a little clue, and I'm going to close with it and let you figure it out for yourself. Chapter 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God." That's the subject. Okay. Don't ever forget it. The temple of God. And the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And a holy city shall be tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. That's 3.5 years. You know what that's been shortened to. So when you look at the time of the Gentiles, think. You know a great deal more about it than you might realize. As the treading takes place, okay? 5 months, Revelation chapter 9, don't ever forget it. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And they do stand before God of the earth. He probably appeared with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. God always takes care of you because that many solar days, that's why God's people are always given in solar, not lunar. Lunar is of the devil. Lunar is of the prince of Persia. Okay. But that's a little longer, and those two guide and direct where you cannot go wrong. So when he says a hair on your head cannot be bothered, you can rest assured of that. So always remember and look about. Many think that the whole city was taken in 1948. Some think the whole city was taken in 1967. Unfortunately, the temple was not. It's still the time of the Gentiles. Don't ever forget it. It's your benchmark. It's important. God bless.